Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Something Withering This Way Comes by Amy Boyles. Narrated by Michael Kirby. Chapter 1. There are dozens of different types of monsters in this world. There are those that will attack first and ask questions later. Others that scurry under a bush at the first hint of a fight. Yes, even fearful creatures can still be deemed monsters. And then there were the tough guys, like I was dealing with right now.
Put up your dukes. You can't pass me without a fight. Well, what are you waiting for?
Four towering tree-like creatures stood in front of me. Arborhas, they were known as. And all four of them were dying to get into a punching match. The one on the right turned to the one on its left.
He's afraid to fight. What did I tell you?
I owe you one. I'll find you a root later to eat on.
No, I want a peach from your stash.
No way!
The one on the far left pointed at me.
Is he afraid? He looks afraid with his dark cloak on. And what's with his hair? It's so long, he looks like a girl.
I rolled my eyes. This would have been amusing if I hadn't been in a hurry. Please, would the four of you just get out of the road?
Look who's ordering us around. The little pipsqueak.
They were tall, so, in all fairness to them, I was short. The four were gray and looked exactly like trees, except they had grooves in the bark where two eyes were carved out, a nose and a mouth. They used their spindly branches like arms, and the first one kept pumping his up and down like he was angling for a fight. From behind me, a car door shut, and I heard the crunch of soles on bits of rock.
This looks like it's trickier than you originally thought, Grim. Anything I can do to help?
Paige came up beside me, her scent clouding the air, making it hard to concentrate on a few arborhas, when what I really wanted to do was drag her to a secluded cabin, lock the door, and not emerge for 2 weeks. My heart drummed just looking at her. The delicate slope of her jaw, how the light reflected off her cheekbones, and how her dark eyes brightened when they were set on me. She smelled of cotton and vanilla, the scents curling around my head while I was trying to focus on keeping us alive.
Come at me, Pipsqueak. I'll show you who's boss.
She cleared her throat.
What exactly is the problem?
They don't want to move off the road. The four of them were completely blocking the path. We couldn't go any farther. Another car door shut, and I groaned. Great. There was an audience. Matt, my self-proclaimed sidekick, appeared, rubbing the back of his neck and grimacing.
Well, Grim, looks like we're in a predicament now. Is this the only way to your sister's house?
Yes, I growled. I'd already told him that.
They look friendly enough.
Matt touched my shoulder, and I glared at him. He quickly jerked back his hand.
Maybe all they need is a little encouragement. Perhaps, deep down, the four of them want validation.
I smirked. Go for it. Matt cleared his throat and strolled forward. He was an eager young man, had a Midwestern look to him. Light brown hair, wide eyes, freckles. All the things that made a person look wholesome.
Hello, friends,
he said happily, clapping his hands together like he was a teacher on the first day of kindergarten.
I'd like to come to an agreement. We need to get past you, and you're in the way!
He had gotten too close. The two arborhas in the middle picked Matt up and tossed him back to us. I sighed and threw up my hand. A line of magic snaked from my arm. It acted like a whip and circled Matt's waist, pulling him down to land beside us before he could be thrown into a tree. The foursome chuckled.
Pipsqueaks!
Paige appraised Matt with the authority of a nurse, which she was not.
Are you okay?
He held his head.
Fine. Maybe you were right, Grim. They need more than a little friendship.
Anger flared in Paige's eyes.
They're just big bullies is all they are.
She shot forward in her high-heeled boots and knee-length wrap dress. I cursed. The Arborhaz would make short work of her. Paige, wait! I hustled forward. The exertion caused a slice of pain to rip down my chest. Oh, that's right. I forgot to mention that I'm infected with a monster disease, didn't I? It's not something that comes up in everyday dialogue, so it was easy to overlook. I gritted my teeth through the pain and grabbed Paige by the arm before the creatures could pick her up and toss her like a rag doll the same way they had done to Matt.
Listen, you, she said, wagging her finger at them. This man here is named Grimm. He is a world-famous monster hunter, and we are his friends. If the four of y'all don't get off this road, Grimm is going to unleash magic on you, the likes of which you've never seen.
She turned to me and whispered,
Right, you are going to do that. Aren't you?
To be honest, I wasn't sure. They're doing my sister's work, guarding the house. She needs them. Paige's face paled.
But we need to get through.
She studied me before experiencing her aha moment.
Oh, I get it. You don't want your sister to be any more ticked off at you than she already is. That's it, isn't it?
She said with way too much self-satisfaction for guessing correctly. That's it.
But we don't have time to wait. You're getting pale. We need these creatures gone.
Paige fixed her stormy gaze on them, and the creature on the far left quivered.
Oh, I'm shaking in my knees. The little lady's gonna get me.
She gritted her teeth and made her voice stony.
So that y'all know, in the back of my car is a chainsaw, and I know how to use it.
The first monster rolled his eyes.
Likely story. I say we toss her to the sky first, and then launch her like a baseball into the forest.
Now I was angry. No one talked about my muse like that. That's it, I growled. We're done here. If the four of you don't clear off this road in 10 seconds, I'm going to unleash a firestorm of magic on you. The four creatures whispered among themselves for several seconds before turning to us and crossing their branches over their trunks in unison.
Make us, said the first one.
Paige, stand back.
Grimm, you don't really have to hurt them, do you?
Matt pulled her away.
Miss Paige, I suggest we wait back here.
He tugged her off as I charged up my magic. Another line of power like a whip snapped from my hand, lashing at the four creatures. The magic cracked and sparked. I flicked the whip at the monsters and hit the one on the right, the biggest loudmouth, with a thunderous crack. The Arborhaz jumped 3 feet in the air, hugging his trunk with his branches.
Oh!
He fled the scene, the skirt of roots he had for feet wiggling with super speed as he raced into the forest that surrounded us. I smirked. Who else wants a taste of my power? None of them, as it turned out. The remaining three ran into each other in their rush to flee. One shoved another to the ground before catapulting over its body to race away. The remaining two scrambled off, leaving us standing in the middle of an empty road. Paige watched them go with her lower lip pouted out, studying them.
Why didn't you do that in the first place?
I shrugged. Because I was trying to be nice. They're guarding the road for my sister, like I said. No reason to take her off until there is one.
Let's get back in the cars, Matt suggested, whistling. I'm ready to put my feet up and relax. We've been driving for hours. The sun is setting.
The four of us piled into the two cars we'd brought, Paige and me in one, and Matt and Savage, my winged dog, in the other. As soon as Paige and I were in the car, I fired up the ignition and we rumbled along the dirt and stone-littered mountain road. A thick canopy of trees rose up on both sides, creating a lattice of branches that blocked out a lot of light.
This is creepy, she murmured.
My sister wouldn't have it any other way. Paige brushed a strand of hair from my face. In my peripheral vision, I saw her smiling. It tugged on my heartstrings.
I found you, she said.
You found me.
Even though you didn't want me to.
I grunted. She sighed and took my hand, entwining her fingers in mine.
You're not going to push me away, Grim. No matter how hard you try, I'm sticking with you until we find a cure for what's inside you.
There is no cure,
came a voice in the back of my head. I frowned. I didn't like strange voices invading my personal space.
You cannot escape. You will join us, Grim.
I rolled my shoulder, trying to shake the voice. A sudden image flashed in my mind of a tall creature with long, sinewy arms and legs, like a man-sized corn husk with black, inky eyes.
I am your future.
No, you're not, I replied.
Everything okay?
Paige asked. I glanced over and smiled. She looked at me with an open expression, one of love and hope. Her eyes shone, and her dark hair with streaks of caramel in it cascaded over her shoulders, pooling just about the line of her breast. This was not the time to be thinking those kinds of thoughts.
We're going to overcome this, she chatted. Once your sister knows what's happening, she'll talk to you. Your relationship will mend. You can put the past aside and move forward.
And how did things go when you were mending past hurts with your sister? I asked gently, reminding Paige of her own complicated familial situation. She cleared her throat nervously, letting go of my hand to flatten a hem on the belt of her dress.
Fine, just fine. Once we got over the whole stolen mafia money thing, Cammy and I mended our fences. We became good neighbors, she chuckled. Like in that Robert Frost poem.
For my sister, it's going to take a lot more than mending a fence to become a good neighbor.
You'll work it out. I have faith.
Maybe, maybe not.
I mean, she can't still blame you for your parents' death, can she? Not after all this time.
The words, even though I was used to hearing the phrase parents' deaths, still made a pit open in my stomach. I had to come to terms with the truth of what had happened years ago, but my sister never had. Needless to say, I would be lucky if she didn't blow my head off when she saw me.
Is that the house?
The thick canopy parted, opening to a lush green field. Sitting atop a hill was my house, the one I had grown up in.
Wow, that is some home, Paige whispered.
It was. 3 stories high and made of pale gray river stone. The home looked like a mixture between a country cottage and an English manor. It was wide, with big, leaded windows, and a single chimney shooting from the top. Smoke pumped through the hole, signaling that my sister was home. I hoped that didn't mean she was preparing a potion to kill me. Not that she knew I was coming.
Grim, you look pale. You okay?
I'm fine. I pulled to a stop in front of the house, but I knew better than to knock on the front door. My sister would be in the kitchen, and I didn't want her to get a look at me from the front windows and decide not to answer. Or worse, I was chancing fate, my own, by surprising her, but it was the best option. We parked, and the four of us, Savage included, walked up to the side door. I took a deep breath and knocked. Footsteps approached, and the door flung open. A tall witch with eyes the same shade of green as mine answered. She had dark hair that, even though it was pulled back, still swirled in loose curls around her face. She wore leather pants, a dark fitted shirt with a leather corset over it. My sister had always loved dressing the part of being a witch as much as she enjoyed being one. Her eyes drank me in before her jaw hardened. Shelby, I whispered. Her eyes narrowed.
Grim?
That was all she said before she slammed the door shut and the latch bolted. Chapter 2 My chest deflated.
Well, that was fast, Matt murmured.
She didn't even have a look at my indescribable beauty before slamming the door in our faces. I was about to comment that his ego was the size of a state when the door blew open.
Shelby tapped her fingers on her hips impatiently.
Come inside, quickly.
It wasn't the greeting that I was expecting, but it worked. Thank you.
Hold your thanks. You may regret that later.
We stepped inside, and Matt was the first to say,
Holy smokes!
This is... Wow.
Paige added, blowing out a breath that suggested she was impressed. I smiled. Someone's happy to see me. As soon as I crossed the threshold, the house began rumbling. The gray stacked stone that made up the facade of the home also lined the interior. Some rocks quivered. Others jutted in and out as they greeted me.
What is with this house?
Paige asked, breathless. This is a magical cottage, I explained with a wink. Never seen one before?
No, I haven't.
Me neither, Matt murmured, his eyes roaming over the space. The smooth slate stone wove throughout the house, leading to wide, leaded windows that overlooked the expanse of green meadow that banked both sides. I heard Shelby shut the door, and as I was about to thank her, another rumble grabbed my attention.
What in the world is that?
Matt asked. A velvet footstool appeared in the kitchen doorway. It stopped, cocked the front of its body to one side, and before anyone moved, it rushed straight to me, making circles around my feet. Footy, good to see you. I leaned over and patted the blue velvety body. Matt's eyes were as big as plates.
It has a name?
Grim named him, Shelby snapped. When we were little.
It's like a dog, Paige said as Footy scurried around her legs.
He is, I told her, a wide smile taking over my face. Footy approached Savage, who backed away from the eyeless beast. But when the footstool lowered onto its front legs, taking a playful stance, Savage bounced back. 2 seconds later, the two of them were ripping across the floor, new best friends.
Graham, it's good to see you.
Duke, old friend, how's death treating you? A gray figure sailed through the now calm brick walls approaching us. He wore a cowboy outfit, replete with a 10-gallon hat.
You have a ghost,
Paige said, her shoulder touching mine. We have a ghost. Duke, Shelby, this is Matt and Paige. Duke floated over and bowed to Paige.
It's a pleasure to meet you, ma'am. Graham's a good one, and Graham, it looks like you've roped yourself one pretty little filly.
Paige's cheeks turned red. You've been taking good care of yourself? I asked him. He tipped his hat to me.
Been making sure that Shelby here has everything she needs and that she's looked after. As for myself, I still get lost in the home. It doesn't like me, Graham.
I chuckled and turned around to see if Shelby was laughing. She was not. My sister had her back to us and was chopping away on a cutting board. From the looks of it, she was preparing squirrel for her supper. A squirrel that, no doubt, she had caught and killed herself.
I know you're staring at me, Grim, she growled. And as for you, Duke, you should know your way around this house by now.
It don't help that the walls shift all the time, he told her.
And on cue, the stones lining the left kitchen wall rumbled before sinking back. They quivered and shook before realigning to form a right angle.
Holy smokes, Matt said, his voice soaked with awe.
That is so cool. What is that about?
The house moves, I explained. It can take some getting used to. You go to bed one night and have the living room in one place, and when you wake up, it might be in a completely different location.
That is very cool,
Matt murmured, sneaking a glance at Shelby. His lips twisted, and I knew what he was about to do. It was tempting to warn him, but I figured it might be best for Matt to learn this lesson on his own.
What are you making there?
He asked her.
Looks like it's gonna smell great.
She turned around, knife in hand.
I'm gutting a squirrel for stew.
His eyes flared in surprise.
Did you trap it yourself?
I trapped it, skinned it, and am now gutting it. Would you like a demonstration?
She asked in a cutting voice. He gulped.
No. I think I'm good.
Her gaze snapped to mine.
Grim, what is it you want?
Can we speak in private? She nibbled her bottom lip, thinking it over. Before she could answer, Paige said,
Your house is beautiful and so unique. Grim never told me that it was this charming. I know about the atrium that he has, that your mother built it, and that's beautiful too. But this is gorgeous.
Shelby softened. Not much, but the tightness circling her eyes relaxed a tiny bit.
Oh, you've seen it?
Before Paige could answer, she said to me,
You still have it?
Of course I do. She sucked in her cheeks, turning back toward the dead squirrel.
I'll speak to you in here. You have 5 minutes.
It was better than nothing. I took Paige's hand. Through the kitchen, you'll find a sitting room, or you should. You can wait for me there. She shot me a look that said, Are you sure? I gave a brief nod, and Matt came up.
I don't know about you, but I'm dying to see the rest of the place.
I wonder if there's an indoor swimming pool.
There's not, I told him.
I'll give you a tour, Duke said in his slow, thick twang. If I can manage not to get lost, that is.
Paige shot me a worried look over her shoulder, and I nodded, telling her that they'd be fine. She grinned, encouraging me before disappearing through the door. The look filled me with longing and hope. It also elicited a physical response, making my chest tighten, which caused a jolt of pain to skate down my legs. It took all my resolve not to grunt in front of my sister. She whacked the knife on the squirrel's body as she spoke.
You need an army to speak with me?
No, but they're with me. I drummed my fingers on the counter. The house looks well. You've taken good care of it.
It was the least I could do, considering.
She said the last part sharply, and I ground my teeth. You know that I have to live with their deaths every day, too. Live with the guilt of what happened. You acting like you hate me doesn't make things any easier. She paused in her skinning.
I don't hate you.
Seems that way since you never call.
Phones and even magical scrolls work two ways.
I would call if you ever said the words, I forgive you. She turned around, knife in hand.
Grim, I have done my best to forgive you for befriending the monster that killed our parents. But you should have known better. Father was a hunter. His life was always in danger.
I was a kid, Shelby, I exploded. We've gone through this 100 times. Things happen, bad things, all the time. I'm as much a victim as you are, even more so since their deaths happened because of me. Don't you think I feel that every day? Anger flashed in her eyes.
And don't you think I do too? Living in their house?
No one is forcing you to stay here.
Someone has to keep their memories alive. You up and left.
I tapped my chest. I live with them in here. Same as you. It's all I've got.
It's all I've got too, she snapped.
A long stretch of silence ignited between us until Shelby turned back around and I heard the knife cut through bone.
If all you wanted was to show up and rehash the past, then there's nothing I have to say to you. You can leave.
And be killed in the process? What sort of surprises do you have for us on the way out? Because getting up here was bad enough.
The traps don't trigger when you're leaving.
Which reminds me. I cracked a hazelnut sitting in a bowl and popped it into my mouth. You need to find another herd of Arborhaz. She glanced over her shoulder.
Why? What did you do?
Let's just say I managed to send them packing.
Anybody else would have run in the other direction, she huffed. But not my brother.
I should have hired a fire-breathing dragon to guard the road. And for your information, the Arborhaz will return. I hope.
That was an interesting piece of information. Why do you hope so? She whirled around, still holding the knife, but now it was pointed at my gut.
Not that it's any of your business, but you never know when you're going to need extra protection.
And for the first time since I'd arrived, Shelby looked vulnerable. Worry filled her eyes, and her grasp on the knife was so tight that her knuckles were white hills. "Shell," I said gently, "what's going on?" My sister stiffened.
"Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Everything's great. I've been keeping up with things in this old house just fine. I haven't needed you or anyone else to help me."
That sounds like a load of hogwash.
"What do you want, Grim?" she exploded. "Why are you showing up after all this time?" "Never mind. You could be dying for all I care. It wouldn't change the fact that you and I don't mix. We don't get along. We don't understand one another, and that's the end of it."
Her words hit me like a blow to the gut. I could have waited for Shelby to flinch, to back down, but she wouldn't. I knew her too well. Once my sister made up her mind, that was it. "I'll get out of your hair." I called Paige and Matt back from the bowels of the house. Matt strode in, wide-eyed.
"Grim, you should see the inside of this place. There's this mega-sized TV. I didn't turn it on, but can you imagine?"
I couldn't. Shelby wasn't the TV-watching kind of person.
"Everything okay?"
Paige whispered as she curled up into my side. I looked down into her big doe eyes, and my first thought was to lie. "No, we're leaving." I gave Shelby a nod. "Thanks for your time." As I reached the door, a slice of pain ripped through me, sending me folding onto the floor. A fire poker hot stabbing sensation shot down my arms and legs. It felt like my body was being ripped apart, one limb at a time. All I could do was close my eyes and do my best to live through it. Paige's hands were on me.
"Grim, breathe. Just breathe. It will pass."
This was the first attack I'd had around her. I didn't want Paige to see me like this. I twisted my body away from her, but another barb of pain stabbed my back.
"What's wrong with him?"
I heard Shelby ask. A pair of hands squeezed my shoulder. I think they were Paige's, but the agony was too unbearable to open my eyes. But I did hear her say,
"He's dying. That's why we came. If we don't get Grim help, he won't make it."
There was a long pause before Shelby finally said,
"Let's get him up and into a bed."
Chapter 3. The last thing I remembered was being lifted by magic and floating through the house. After that, the pain became intolerable, and I passed out. When I awoke, I was lying in my old bedroom, in my single bed with an oak wooden frame. When I was a kid, the bed had a condition. If I moved around too much, the wooden slats holding up the mattresses would fall, and it would plummet to the floor. I wasn't tempted to see if that was still true. My room hadn't changed. There were toy wands and stuffed animals, a penguin with a grape jelly-stained chest that I'd loved as a kid. Posters of super wizards lined the walls, including one of my all-time monster-hunting hero, Horatio Crooks. Back in the day, he'd been the ultimate monster hunter. Everyone looked up to him, even my dad.
"You're awake."
My gaze floated to the corner, where Paige sat in an overstuffed recliner. That chair didn't used to be here.
"Your sister put it in for me."
"She did. That seems awfully witchy of her." Paige crossed to me and sat on the bed. She took my hand and pressed the back of it to her cheek.
"Grim, I'm so sorry this is happening to you."
"It's why I didn't want you here. I don't want you to see me like this." She sniffed and sat up straight.
"You can't go through this alone."
"I have Matt." A hoarse laugh ripped from her throat.
Your sidekick?
A smile ticked up on one side.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?